Matt Wade, what floor are we on right now and what happens here?
Sixth floor, mainly BBC Vision people, or TV they might be called now. And we have a few of the World Service Global studios up here, so BBC Africa and Afghan.
It's quite interesting walking around and seeing shelves filled with dictionaries with writing I don't recognise, and you do feel like you're passing through some international convention meeting of minds, everybody staring at screens, possibly communicating worldwide. Some really high-tech looking little studio booths. How many of those do you have?
So we've got 18 of the individual studios, and the main clusters are clusters of three. So we have kind of two smalls and then one big, which is sort of the jam in the sandwich. And the jam can be controlled from either slice of bread, either side.
So I just stepped inside one. They are heavily booked up today. Got a chance to have a look at some of the technology. What's with all the cameras? I've not only seen cameras sitting on people's desks, but there's some kind of remotely operated cameras that sit above the desks. And you were telling me that they, a little bit like how Google Hangouts work, they will work off the microphones.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't got them quite in yet. We've got a few Snoop cameras that we use already, but yeah, we're going to be sticking four cameras in each of the main middle studios. And the idea is they work from a system called TriggerMix, which basically takes the audio input from the microphones and it sort of gets the audio early, buffers it, so it switches to the camera in time to see the person actually talking. So and you do have control in the studios to force it to like a wide shot of the whole studio, but you can just leave it in auto and it will basically cut between whoever's talking and in time to actually see them opening their lips and starting to talk. So it's radio visualization. It's kind of slightly better than sort of CCTV type footage. But it's a way to allow people to, especially if you've got someone, a special guest in the studio, or you're doing something that warrants a bit more visualization, it gives that ability to be able to do that.
So having visuals alongside the audio, does that make people behave ever so slightly differently when they're recording audio now, when they can actually hold something up and say, look at that?
I haven't seen them actually sort of do anything different. I'm sure some people will probably be more into it than others, and some will sort of pretty much ignore that it's there, which is kind of the point of it. It's not there to kind of get in the way and not there to sort of downgrade the radio show experience. It's there to sort of just enhance it and allow people just to pop in, see what's going on, and pop away again. So it's kind of hopefully not going to sort of take the people's minds away from the radio.
And I imagine being a kind of supplementary media, there will be a lot of people in some of the countries listening to the radio on a very, very basic device, probably under the covers or smuggled in if their country doesn't necessarily allow the listening to certain content. So images will probably be the last thing that they'll get to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're just not interested. They'll be getting it on shortwave. They may be, you know, some of them still, you know, in 2013, you have stories of a radio at the community centre that people go to listen to the radio programme all gathered around it. You know, something very nostalgic that we can think of. But that is happening today for some of the kind of African programmes that are delivered on shortwave still.
What are your thoughts about the inclusion? And I saw even a little TV-style studio for small pieces to be posted up to YouTube, because it's your job to kind of look after and run this area, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, every website nowadays needs to have that offering of bit of video, bit of audio, and different ways of telling different stories, and also. Yeah, certainly the stuff that they've done for the Spanish website, the BBC Mundo, which they did they used to have 24 hours of radio, and then they pulled back quite a lot and they went down this video route. And that has really sort of been their lifeline in terms of actually staying as a service for the BBC. And it's pulled in different audiences because they've been able to do just different stuff and experiment with stuff and see what works and see where they get the reaction from. So for them, it's been really good and kind of now suits them sort of down to the ground. So I think it's fine. As long as the audience can actually see it, the audience that it's intended for, then great.
So what kind of stats, I mean, do you have any, obviously not to hand, but in the back of your mind, around the kind of adoption that's happening with people listening to BBC World Service, for example, through digital channels?
I don't have any stats. I know we do pretty well here in England in terms of the World Service, the English stream. And I mean, World Service globally is at 180 million listeners still and going quite well. We've had a sort of a slight decline in terms of we've been turning off some shortwave stuff because that's quite expensive to run, and some medium wave stuff. So we're trying to sort of diversify into FM partners and relays and stuff like that. And so, you know, we are holding steady on that audience, but I don't have any figures around how the new way of working is going.
At home, I pretty much have BBC Six on the one digital radio in the kitchen. It's the same that's in my shed, which is my office, BBC Radio Six. But when I'm out and about, I'm saturating myself with time-shifted, podcasted radio, a lot of World Service stuff, a lot of documentaries. Do you have a similar habit yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sort of podcasts all the way through, really. I don't tend to listen to much live radio at all. So no, podcasts on my commute here and back, definitely.
I would have been a little bit, because earlier on when you said there's a slight delay when they're recording so the camera can catch up, that might have bothered me a few years ago because live is meant to be live. But now I kind of appreciate that I can have the content delivered to me when I want to listen to it. And sometimes that'll be places where I'm totally offline because I can't log into the stupid underground Wi-Fi, or I'm in an area of the country that doesn't have particularly good data. So, yeah, I'm very thankful for how kind of BBC is, I mean, one of the first to really adopt podcasting as such and push it out mainstream. Favourite shows?
Podcasts-wise, I'm a bit of an Apple geek, so Mac Power Users is a good one. I do like quite a lot of the 70 Decibels Network, which has just actually been sort of subsumed by 5x5 Network, which is Dan Benjamin, let me get his names the right way around. So Mac Power Users, yeah, Mic Techniques and Mike Hurley stuff. And not much BBC content, actually, you'd be surprised to know.
Guess you get it at work.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sort of overwhelmed with it here. So,
Do you get a chance to record much yourself?
I do a little bit. I do a podcast still, which I do for hospital radio members. So it's something that I did sort of ages ago and got me into radio at the tender age of 14. And so, yeah, I still do stuff for that, which is called the On Air Podcast.
So this has been a huge shift, and this new building, you know, some are going to get used to it. Some are going to go, oh, I liked it when we were down corridors and had windows you can open.
Yeah.
What do you see for the next 10 years for radio?
Oh, blimey. For radio, I think it's just still going to do stormingly well. As long as you've still got the live offering and you've also not, you know, it's not just the conveyor belt of radio. There is things you can pick up from that conveyor belt and have whenever you want. So, there's no reason why it's not going to do even better. And I think if you were to ask people in 10 years' time, they wouldn't necessarily think of it as radio, or they might not even know the radio station that the material's coming from, which is a potential bit of an issue, but they will be more associated with the brands, and which might not actually be the radio station. The brand might just be BBC. Oh, I just get it from BBC. And they might not have any idea that it actually goes out in a linear form on the radio anywhere.
Exciting. I'm still passionate, or always will be. I mean, are we allowed to talk about my plans for world domination and why I'm actually here right now as regards the studio?
No.
Okay, we'll keep that for another recording. Matt, thank you very much.
You're welcome.